Sometimes I remember things that happened years ago, and just remembering how much of an impact they made on me. And there's big things in my life that made huge impacts on me. And so I'm often drawn to them. God takes me back to those moments of things that I learned or the experience that I had. And college is one of those things that was just monumental. I know there's many college graduates here. I know you went to years and years to college, and just the success that you've had. And my college experience as a 31-year-old guy that was lost and then found in 5 months in college, and I can't even fathom, I can't even explain the hurricane that was in my life during college. And all the things that I learned and all the things that I was sure that I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, I that was probably my go-to phrase in college. What? I have no idea what I'm doing. In some of those classes that I took, and I was excited to take some classes. I look ahead, and you have to fill out your scheduling for the semester to come, and they would say, okay, you need to take this class and this class, and then here's some electives, and then here's the ones in your major, and you need to choose this, and you got to kind of fit everything together so it fits into the schedule, because obviously you can't take two classes at the same time, so you got to work all that out. My goal was to get the classes that I really wanted and needed, and then I'd put those in, and then I would try to fill in around it. Well, just to be honest, literature, English seemed to be the ones I'd fit in around, because they were the most scary to me. I mean, here, Mr. Podunk Corner, Tioga County, you need to take classical literature. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that is. I feel like I'm going into a foreign country here. I just really feel, I mean, the language and the different things. And literature was definitely one of those things that when you go into the first time, and I learned early that I was going to sit in the front row because I wanted everything that the professor had. You know, you pay like a couple grand to sit in those classes. If you had to pay tickets to go to some kind of show and you paid $2,000, you'd want the front, baby. You'd want the front. And I learned that quickly that I'm going to get the front. Number one, I get distracted fairly easy. There's squirrels running around, and I can't watch somebody else in class too. But literature was one of those classes like, man, I'm really tempted to sit in the back. Because I hardly can read to save my life. But really, I mean, I'm not very good at that. And I'm afraid I'm going to get called on. And I haven't, I mean, I'm 33 years old at this time, and I'm having all these. But I sat in classical literature, a couple semesters of it. I sat in a couple semesters of English, creative writing, speech. That horrified me. Speaking in front of people, I mean, I couldn't even get my tongue shifted into the right gear. I think God's helped me with that. But I can remember classical literature and having to read certain books and report on those books and classical literature. And I found out that, you know, classical literature doesn't come in comic books. I just found that out. There weren't many pictures. There weren't many pictures in classical novels and classical works. They were very intriguing. I mean, if you've ever read a classical work, they're classics for a reason. They are classics because the author has something special. Because the author is inviting you kind of in to his world or her world. So I got a little quiz for you this morning. I'm going to read just the first line of some classical works, and I'm going to see if you can. Now, the first one is almost a gimme. Well, it wouldn't have been if Call Me Ishmael. Some years ago, never mind how long precisely, having little or no money in my purse and nothing particular to interest me on shore, I thought I would sail about a little and see the watery part of the world. You know what that is? Moby Dick, right? But that does something to me. Now, it didn't, I get it, maybe, but that just does something to me. It's almost inviting me on into that story, I believe. How about this one? The time traveler, for so it will be convenient to speak of him, was expounding a recondite matter to us. His gray eyes shone and twinkled, and his usual pale face was flushed and animated. Anybody know what the beginning is? That's the H.G. Wells, The Time Machine. Just an awesome read. How about this one? When I was very young and the urge to be someplace else was on me, I was assured by mature people that maturity would cure this itch. Then years described me as mature and the remedy prescribed was middle age. In middle age, I was assured that greater age would calm my fever. And now that I'm 58, perhaps senility will do the job. Anybody know what that's the opening line to? John Steinbeck, Travels with Charlie. How about this one? Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses. Anybody know that, the opening line of that? That's the opening line of the Gospel of Luke. Have you ever just read the opening line of the Gospel of Luke? I mean, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it goes on to say. Draws us in. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is the gospel they're going to reach into this morning. Is the gospel that we want to reach into this morning and see what God wants us to get out of the Gospel of Luke this morning. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of things that have been fulfilled among us. We'll come back to that statement. Just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me to write an orderly account to you, my most excellent Theophilus, or my most excellent lover of God. Is what that means. So that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Woo! That's a powerful opening. That's a big promise. That I'm going to write this so you can be certain. I'm going to write what has been revealed among us so that you can be certain of what you have been taught. Luke carefully investigated. He carefully investigated. He was not one of the original 12 disciples, but he carefully investigated those things, the things. I don't have any stuff on the back wall. I don't know if we can get it or not. But the things we have, he's carefully investigating the things that have been fulfilled among us. Push the button. That have been fulfilled among us. He said, I've carefully investigated. And if you start looking through the Gospel of Luke, you start, and even in chapter 4, you start, there was driving out of demons. Jesus was driving out demons. And he said, I investigated that. And then he said, he was calling disciples, and I investigated that. And he was raising people from the dead. Those things that were being fulfilled among us, I stepped into to investigate them. What in the world is going on, is what he was saying. What in the world? We think, oh, yeah, that's Bible stuff. I'm telling you, Luke was like, what is going on here? There are demons being cast out of people. What is going on? There are disciples that are leaving their occupations. They're leaving their family businesses. They're leaving their life behind to follow Jesus. What is going on? And he's raising people from the dead. What in the world is going on? And he is healing people with deadly fevers. This is all accounted in Luke. He is healing people with leprosy. He is healing the paralyzed. He is healing people with unknown diseases. He is healing people with long-term illnesses. He healed the person with 12 years of affliction of the bleeding issue on her. What is going on here? What is happening? I hear people talking about them, and I step in and I start to interview them, and I start to talk around, and I start to see what Jesus is doing. And look what he says. He says, "Then when the sun was setting, and the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one of them, he healed them." It makes me wonder, because Luke was a doctor, it makes me wonder how many of these people had been to his clinic. Because he was a medical doctor. I wonder how many times the woman in 12 years with a bleeding issue had been to his clinic. I wonder how many times he could not bring a healing to her. I wonder how many times medicine failed. I wonder how many times procedures failed in her life. I wonder how many times when he had to give the diagnosis to someone, the hopelessness of the diagnosis of leprosy. You're going to have to leave the community. You're going to have to leave. How many times did he walk by people with leprosy or walk by people with sicknesses, and his call to be a doctor and his oath that he took to help those who were suffering, to help those that he could touch and bring a healing to, and he couldn't do it. But now all of a sudden, somebody's on the scene that's doing these things, and he's intriguing him, and he's stepping into this environment. He said, what is going on here? And I got to wonder if Luke even thought he was human. Is this guy even real? See, I think, and I want us to take the Word of God as the Word of God. And I want us to start there and go. But I'm telling you what, you have no problem investigating what Jesus is doing and finding out that Jesus is real. And so Luke goes ahead and he starts to investigate these things because he sees something that's a phenomenon in his life. He sees something that's different in the community. And so he begins to investigate. And I think that's where we get the first three chapters of Luke. He begins to investigate, because I think chapters 4 and on are the things that were being fulfilled among them. And it intrigued him so much that he said, I've got to go back. I've got to see if this person of Jesus is even real. Because he's doing things that I only could dream of doing in my medical practice. So I wonder if he went and talked to Mary. He said, "Mary, I got word that you're his mother. Who is he?" And Mary may have shared this with him. "Well, see, one night before I was married, before I even had the ability to have children, before that was even an option in my life, the Holy Spirit came to me. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, is what the angel told me. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Can you imagine hearing that for the very first time in the first century from the mother of Jesus? he's got to be thinking, maybe you need some psychiatric help here. You're telling me that an angel said that the Holy Spirit is going to do something, and this is going to produce what is called the Son of God? And I don't think Luke was completely out of the picture. I'm pretty sure that Luke was a Gentile. But as he investigated, as he began, and you can look down through the book of Luke, and we're going to do that just a little bit. How many times he sees that the Holy Spirit is working the person of Jesus. And he gets that right from Mary the very first time. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And I think Luke pushed the button. And the Holy Spirit gave Jesus life here on this earth. Okay? I think Luke would have wrote that in his notes. If I can just go with Luke for a moment. I think he talked to Mary, and Mary said this. Mary said that an angel came, and Mary said that the Holy Spirit is going to do something miraculous in her body, and she doesn't even have the right to have children. She's not married. She's never been with a guy. She doesn't even have the ability to have children, but somehow the Holy Spirit's going to do something, and she's going to give birth to what is referred to as the Son of God. And so I think he would have put in his notes, you know what? The Holy Spirit gave Jesus life here on this earth. And then he continued to investigate. And then when the people were baptized, when all the people were baptized, and Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying, and heaven was opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Can you imagine talking to the people that were there? That's what Luke's doing. And again, he sees that the Holy Spirit is doing something in the life of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit identifies Jesus as the Son of God. It's this human. He knows that he's human. We know that the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke, gives the human side of Jesus. But 18 times through the book of Luke, I see that the Holy Spirit is at work. Luke points to the Holy Spirit. Luke is pointing to the Holy Spirit because that's what he's hearing, that the Holy Spirit caused this to happen, Mary said. And the Holy Spirit has identified Jesus as the one who is the Son of God. And Jesus in Luke 4 says this, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. And we know the whole temptation experience that Jesus had in the desert. But Luke again points to the Holy Spirit partnering with Jesus. And I think he would have wrote in his notes, the Holy Spirit enabled Jesus to stand against the temptations and the schemes of the enemy. I think that was part of his notes. And then a little while later in chapter 4, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the countryside. See, he's talking about, and all of a sudden people said there was the Holy Spirit that came. And Mary said there was a Holy Spirit that came. The angel said the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And then those that were watching the baptism said, oh, the clouds opened up and it looked like a dove, but somehow we knew it was the Holy Spirit was settling on Jesus. And all of a sudden we heard a voice say, this is the Son of God. And then we saw that Spirit, that same Spirit didn't leave Jesus. That same Spirit took him into the desert. And we watched him come out of the desert with this great victory over the enemy. And then we watched the Holy Spirit empower Jesus to walk out the call. We watched it. We watched him do that. We watched the Holy Spirit and Jesus partner together. And Jesus walked out his call. And then Jesus himself says this, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. Don't you love it? His mom, his friends, the people that were there listening to what was coming out of the heavens, the enemy himself, and now we have Jesus saying, you know what? You know what's happening in my life? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind and to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Through this partnership that Jesus in his human form, in his humanity, partnered with the Holy Spirit, empowered Jesus, anointed Jesus, brought an anointing to Jesus. Just so we're clear, I'm sure that Jesus did what he did on this earth because he partnered with the Holy Spirit, not because he was God. Does that make sense? Was he ever not God? No. But some dynamic there. And that hypostatic union, that God and that man and the person of Jesus, something unique. And Luke is known. I know he's a man. I can see him. I've seen him. I witnessed what he's doing. I watched him eat. I watched him sleep. I watched him. And I talked to people that watched him. He is human. But there's more than him, more to him than just humanity. He's partnered with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is doing miraculous things in and through him. And the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus to bring the gospel and to freedom from those caged by life's prisons and healing the broken and renewed sight and vision and rescued the oppressed and the message that the Lord is here. And then later in Luke, he says this, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, and he began to testify, Jesus did, of what the Father was doing in and through him. So you see, through the Holy Spirit, he had insight of what the Father was doing. I don't know if I'm making this clear this morning, but we need to make this clear that Jesus walked on this earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. His perfection allowed him to always hear from the Holy Spirit, always hearing from the Father. But he did what he did on this earth in his human form is because he was connected so closely with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit was bringing all this communication from the Father to him, and he was living it out. And he was walking out his call, and he was defeating the enemy in his life, and he was doing the things that he was called to this earth to do because the Holy Spirit was empowering the person of Jesus. And that's what Luke is saying. How did he do all these things? Because he was in full unity with the Holy Spirit on this earth. The Holy Spirit filled Jesus with joy or satisfaction because he could clearly see the work of the Father in the here and the now. But look at one of the last verses that Luke puts in here. He says, this is Jesus talking, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you're clothed with the power from on high. Here we go. It's not only about Jesus and the Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to do the same thing for you. This same Holy Spirit that I partnered with all my life on this earth, I'm about ready to do it for you. I'm about ready to bring it into your life. I'm about ready to do it for you. Hang on, I'm going to do it for you. Everything that you've seen me do is because I was partnered with the Holy Spirit, and you can partner with the Holy Spirit. And he says in the last words of Luke, he said, you get ready because I'm about ready to clothe you from the power on high. The same power that clothed me on this earth. The same thing. You can walk it out because you can be partnered with the Holy Spirit in the here and the now. Does that make sense this morning? The Holy Spirit is inviting us. I wrote this in my notes. The Holy Spirit is inviting us to experience the same touch that he gave Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Because if you're not, I can quit now. This is so key to our life on this earth. Jesus walked on this earth in complete unity with the Holy Spirit so he could show you and me how we could walk on this earth and great success with great power and a great authority and a great abilities that he wants to give us. And so this morning we're going to pull out of Luke. This morning we're going to pull out of Luke that God wants to do that in our lives. Here's this representation. C4, I love this. C4, superhuman performance. Are you ready for a little superhuman performance? This is what it says in the fine prints on this bottle. Within minutes of drinking C4, you will feel a tingling sensation, signaling that your body is primed for superhuman performance. I'm not too sure about C4. But I'm sure that the Holy Spirit wants to do that in you and me. Because here we go. You know what else? You know what other book that Luke wrote? Acts. Here's one of the first things he says in Acts. This is Luke again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, you know what he's saying right there? You know what he's saying? I got chills. I got this like goosebumps because he said, oh, wait a minute. At the end of my letter called Luke, I said, Jesus said, I'm going to give you this. Woo! What? He's going to do it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know what I think the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning? This. Can I give you power? Just can I give you power? Just can I give you power? Will you drink the C4? Because the same thing that I did through Jesus on this earth, I want to do through you. And will you stop selling yourself short? Will you stop thinking that I'm limited to you? Will you just partner with me? Because I want to give you power on this earth. And I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Will you just stop arguing with me? Will you just stop and let me give you power? Can I give you power? I can't force it on you. I'm not going to turn you into a robot. I'm not going to shove my hand up the back of your shirt and run you like a puppet. I'm not above you with this marionette situation. But I am asking, can I give you power?
Come on now.
I showed what I could do through the person of Jesus. Even the doctor was amazed. Can I give you power? So that's an answer that we need to give him. And this morning, maybe you're saying, I don't know what all that means. I don't know what even classical literature means. And I don't even know what it means to receive power from the Holy Spirit. I don't even know what that means. You know what? You know why? He doesn't give a full definition before you enter the class. I didn't know what classical literature was, but when I entered the class and then began to learn, I began to know what it was. You don't get all the knowledge about being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit until the power comes upon you. And then you begin to learn. It's like trying to learn to be married without being married. Good luck with that. Can I give you power? New life, and this is my new phrase, not whistle and Dixie. Well, we say yes to the Holy Spirit. Well, we say, yes, I will receive the power. I don't know what that's going to do to me, but I'll receive the power. I wonder if he's saying this from other passages of Scripture. We know that Luke traveled with Paul as well, so he probably penned this as well. Since you live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So I'm wondering if the Spirit is asking this question to you and me this morning. Is he asking this, can I guide your steps? See, I'm interested in guiding your life, but step by step. Not just your life from here and then next year we think about it. I'm interested in the day-to-day steps. Can I guide your steps? And can we wake up every morning and just say, you guide my steps today? Do you think that's what Jesus did? I'm 100% sure that's what Jesus did. And why he healed certain people and why this happened and why that happened and why there was other sick people that he didn't heal. Because the Spirit was moving in him and say, stop with this person right now. I'm going to guide your step. Don't, wait a minute, don't go by that guy with leprosy. Don't go by him. stop right here. Look at him. And see, I want to think that Jesus always kind of floated around on this earth. And the reason he did what he did on this earth is because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's already promised that he'll do the same thing for you and me. So can I guide your steps? Careful, you're going to get some superhuman performance. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful desires of the flesh. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is saying this to you and I this morning. I wonder if he's saying this. Can I give you victory? Can I give you a victory over what you're wrestling with? Do you understand? I can give you victory over that. But see, the problem is with me, I want, like, God, can you do that? And like, beep, 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 microwave stuff. Because the microwave's even faster than just preheating the oven, for crying out loud. I mean, it's like 3 minutes before the oven is even preheated. I can have a piece of pizza burned to an Old Testament sacrifice in 3 minutes. We said, would you let me give you victory? I want to walk you through those things that you're struggling with right now, and I want to give you victory. Careful. I want to give you superhuman ability. He wants to give you victory. Take it. He's got it for you. Father, I'm not done yet. But I know you want to give victory. You want to give power. And you want to give guidance. And Father, help us not to think we deserve any of those things, because we do not. So in Jesus' name, I ask that you would just well up our hearts in extreme expectation that there will be superhuman performance in and out of us. In Jesus' name, amen. John tells us this, but when the Spirit of truth, and this is Jesus talking, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. You know how Jesus knew that? Because he was living that right then. And I'm wondering if the Spirit is saying this morning to us. Can I guide you in truth? You got a lie filed in the truth category. You got a lie, and it's making the calls in your life. You got this lie that you're not worth it. That's a lie. Can I guide you in the truth that you are? Can I guide you in the truth that I love you? Can I guide you in the truth that I am mercy and I am grace? Can I guide you in the truth that I love you more than you can ever imagine? The world has lied to you. And all I want to do is guide you in the truth. Can I guide you in the truth this morning? Can I just guide you in the truth? What truth is he going to guide me in? His choice. All I want to say is, yes, guide me in the truth. Guide me in the truth. The Spirit says that you can't imagine what I want to do in your life. Let me take that lie and let me get it out of there. Let me guide your steps and let me give you power. And let me give you victory over that. What part of that don't we want? Oh, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll act weird. Look out there. There's a lot of weird people. You're already weird. Can I guide you? Can I give you power? Can I give you victory? can I give you an anointing? Because when Jesus left this earth, he passed this on to you and me. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to be upon you. Because he has anointed you to preach the good news to the poor, and he has sent you to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, and recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Can I do that? Can I give you an anointing this morning? Can I give you an anointing? I mean, a real life anointing. Can I come on you? And all of a sudden, you're going to bring the gospel to the lost. And you're going to be freedom. You're going to proclaim freedom to those caged by life's prisons. I talked to the police here in town this week. My question was for them. I want to know how many arrests that they make in this township, in East Freedom Township, that has the roots in drug addiction or drugs. How many arrests do you make? How many calls do you make with that being the root of the call? And as we talked on the phone, it came down to this. Somewhere between 3 and 4 a day in East Freedom. I'm telling you, this world needs the anointed to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. The world needs anointed to proclaim the healing for the broken and the renewed sight and the vision for those that are lost and physically and spiritually, and rescue to the oppressed and the message that the Lord is here. Can I anoint you this morning? What's that going to look like? It's going to look like you've got the gospel. It's going to look like you got freedom. It's going to look like you got healing. It's look like you got renewal, like rescue, and a message for this world. That's what it's going to look like. Can I give you power? Can I guide your steps? Can I give you victory? Can I guide you in truth? Can I give you anointing this morning? Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What's he asking there? Can I do this? Can I give you any gift that I want right now? Can I give you the gift, a spiritual gift? Can I give it to you right now? I want to pour that out on you. Can you give it right now? Whatever that gift is, whatever the gift that the Holy Spirit is choosing, is it okay if he gives it to you right this very moment? Then I would full on expect it. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being. Can I do that right now? Can I do that? Can I strengthen your inner being right now? Can I do that right now? I just want to do that right this minute. I want to strengthen your inner being. Because you're feeling weakened right now. And I want to strengthen you like you cannot believe. More strength than you even think you have now, son. Don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Can I fill you this morning? Are you ready for superhuman performance? Yeah. Wow. Silas may not need C4. Can I feel you this morning? 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 The Holy Spirit is not here to whistle Dixie. He is here to empower us. He is here to fill us. He is here to anoint us. He is here to give us gifts. He is here to strengthen our inner being. He is here to give you power. He is here to guide your steps. And He is here to give you victory. And He is here to guide us in all truth. Will we receive it this morning? Will you stand with me today? Father, I stand. I have everybody stand just because I'm going to ask that you fill us this morning. Father, I don't even know what that's going to look like. But I'm asking that you come over us this morning in the name of Jesus. That you come over us, men and women and children. That you would come over us no matter how old or young we are. That you would come over us no matter what our life situations are. And you would come over us. And you would breathe onto us. And you would fill us with your power and your truth and your anointing and your victory. And Father, that you would fill us with the abilities that you want us to have. You would fill us with spiritual gifts that you want us to have. That we would not be afraid of anything that a loving God would give us. That we would have no fear of what you're going to pour into our lives, even on this moment or on this day. That we would have no fear of what you would pour into our lives. Because, Lord Jesus, you are a loving and powerful and gracious and merciful God. And you would never give us something that doesn't have great benefit for us and all around us. So, Father, I ask, so Holy Spirit, I ask that you fill us this morning. That you fill us. That you fill us, that you fill us, that you give us this anointing, that you fill us, that you come about us. And Father, I love you. And Father, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I ask as the pastor here at this point in history of New Life that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. And you would continue to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And Father, that you would take us places like you took Jesus. And people like Luke would take notice that there's something different about these people. And Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Have a great day.